This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Siobhan Golang is brought to you by AML Foods Limited, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Siobhan Golang, your host. So here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday. Hot Tuesday afternoon. Oh, my word. Wow. Anyway, if you want to give us a call today on the show here on 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother, who celebrated her 85th birthday yesterday, listens to the show, and who's going to be partying come Saturday. We're celebrating her Saturday coming. Oh, I didn't send an invitation to all you others. Yes, sir. She's happy, man, mommy. 85 years old. Boy, I could only be so privileged to reach that. Oh, my goodness. And to be able to sit up and talk politics lucidly, intelligently, moving a little slower, but hey, God is good. God is good. Naomi Seymour, that's my mama, celebrated her 85th yesterday, and she was chilling. She didn't want to do nothing yesterday. Nothing. She said, too hot up there. I just want to be right here. Right here. Doing nothing. All right. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I want to make a prediction today. Okay? This is my prediction today. My prediction today is that some of you, those of you who like me, will continue to like me today. Those of you who don't like me, y'all ain't gonna like me today. some people might switch up, who knows? But we'll see. It is hot out there. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. That heat out there is dangerous. And I'm not even using hyperbole. I'm not being exaggerative. That heat out there is dangerous. I came from from inside an air-conditioned house, went into an air-conditioned car. I was outside at any given time, maybe for a maximum of 2 minutes, each of the places I went. So in total, maybe 6 minutes. And when I came inside the house, I literally had to put my head. Now, I don't even know if that's healthy or not, but it was like I was just stopped. Okay, that heat is not normal. Now, what I find intriguing is this, right? When scientists first started talking about global warming, they were called liberal conspiracy theorists. That's what they were called, conspiracy theorists, that this was in This was a real blah, 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 blah. So that's what they were called. Now, the people who carry almost all the conspiracy theory, the people who are mostly conspiracy theorists these days, I'm not going to tell you who they are expressly, but they know they're out there. They now believe the scientists who were first called conspiracy theorists are still just conspiracy theorists. Maybe so, but ain't no conspiracy about what we are experiencing out there. And when I go in places and I talk to people, everybody's singing the same song. That's some dangerous, dangerous heat. Y'all be careful out there, man. Okay? Stay hydrated, you know? Don't drink a lot of water at a time. Drink a mouthful of water at a time, maybe every hour or so. Just drink a mouthful of water. And if you do that, you'll pretty much get to that targeted 8 cups of water a day, but maybe even more now because we're losing so much water because of the heat. Man, it is hot out there. It's dangerous out there. And all I'm saying is be careful. All right, be careful. Some people, you're driving around your vehicle on the air condition. That's brutal. All right? People are walking around, sit on the vehicles. That's brutal. Just be careful about them. Stay hydrated because, I mean, I checked my blood pressure after I came inside and it was elevated. Dang. Be careful. I hear people, some people, the papers talking about the fact that the Prime Minister said that in response to a question about the Governor General, that a new Governor General, that an announcement should be coming soon, and there's speculation as to who that might be, of course, on the front page of the Tribune, there's a picture of Mother Pratt. There's talk about Mother Pratt being the front runner. Wonderful person, human being, former colleague, and so forth. Frankly, the Governor General plays a constitutional role in our country, a role that we, when we became an independent country, retained in our constitution, created in our constitution. When Sir Lyndon and our fathers, our national heroes of the First Order, decided to become an independent country, they, Sir Lyndon, A.D. Hanna, and all the others who could be named, decided. Can I say that again? After these brilliant, wonderful, celebrated national heroes decided they wanted to, one, retain the monarch of Britain as the head of the Bahamian state. They decided that, right? And then they decided, she or he, would have a representative in the Bahamas called the Governor General. Not the governor, the Governor General. That would be her representative. And so in the Constitution, they retained some functions of that person. One of which is, after election, results are in, returned by the returning officer, that the Governor General would summons the head, the leader of the party who had the most members of the assembly. The Governor General, does not call on a leader calls on the person who the Governor General believes commands the support of the majority of members of the House of Assembly to become Prime Minister. That's the leader of the party, the most members elected. And that person becomes Prime Minister, and he calls upon that person, she calls upon that person to form the government, Her Majesty's government. That's why he or she, the Governor General, summons them, because on behalf of the monarch, he or she is requesting of them to form a government, Her Majesty's government. And he or she swears in the leader of the opposition, Her Majesty's, His Majesty's loyal opposition. And then when appointments of ministers are made, Governor General Act carries that function out, and so on, some on a number of functions, right? Those are really what we call, the Governor General is what we call a titular head, really. That in reality doesn't represent any real substantive political power in the country. That's not. I hear all this talk about, oh, we ain't really independent, and we don't deal with that. That's nonsense talk, We're totally independent, having chosen this path for ourselves. Governor General, the functions the Governor General has can hardly be exercised with any discretion. Hardly be. Prime Minister send you a request to do, it is a matter of course. The biggest function we can get from a Governor General is in the symbolism of a unifying personality that could represent the entirety of the state, the embodiment of what we believe and what we think and what we aspire toward. We could in that person get such a symbol, right? And they can elevate our aspirations. They can provide a point of reference for national achievement and contribution and inspiration and so forth and so forth. But at the end of the day, in terms of our individual lives, our collective lives, and the impact on that, Governor General plays no significant role insofar as the day-to-day decision-making and policy-making is concerned. That falls on our head of government, who is the Prime Minister, and the government, which is the Cabinet of the Bahamas, the Parliament of the Bahamas, and the courts, so forth. So that Bahamians might have an interest in who's next, might even celebrate who's next. It's probable. But as a matter of yearning for, longing for, and agitating for, it's not that. Many Bahamians too busy trying to just get by this heat, pay them bills and get over paying BPL bills. So we'll have to see. Whoever it is, God bless him. God bless him. It's Prime Minister's choice, his decision. So be it. Those are not the things I believe I would be further hated for or further celebrated for. And two things I want to talk to you about today. Two things. As I function in this role as a host of this show, and as I listen to other shows, and I do listen to other shows, and listen to people call into this show, write into this show, call into other shows, or write into other shows. Some people, you see how carefully I'm using my language, because some of us can be very sensitive, right? When people say something, because we think it applies to us. Some people, I would say, too many people, and it's not just the callers to these shows or the writers to these shows, the writers to editors, in letters to the editors. Sometimes it's when you go out and you approached by people to talk, or people engage you to talk, or you listen to people talking. Some people are just so extreme in their language that they have no regard for accuracy or correctness of their thoughts. Absolutely none. And it is atrocious. Atrocious the way they will describe, oh, and none of these politicians ever do nothing for the country. All of these preachers ain't nothing but a bunch of fakes. Nothing in this country works. Ain't no good roads in the Bahamas. Everything bust up and broke up and everybody corrupt in the Bahamas. Bahamas is a failed state. Extreme language with, and I say that with emphasis, with absolute no evidence to support the extremeness of the language. It is, in fact, just a lie. They are telling a lie. If they know what they are saying is untrue, and they are saying it anyway, they are telling a lie. If you say there's nothing good about the Bahamas, if you say that no politician does any positive thing in the Bahamas, has ever done any positive thing in the Bahamas, no government has ever done any positive thing, there's no good roads in the Bahamas, there's no good airports in the Bahamas, there's no good this, no good that. If you say that and you know that to be untrue, then you are lying. That's what a lie is. A lie is saying a thing you know to be untrue and saying it anyways as the truth. That's a lie. If you're saying that and don't know that to be true, then you are ignorant. That's what ignorance is. Ignorance is saying things you don't know to be true as true. That's just being ignorant. If you're saying it and don't know it to be untrue and don't know it to not be for whatever, I don't want to tell you the word that is. The problem with this is it isn't even necessary. It's not necessary because you can still make points about what is dysfunctional in the country, what is not good about the country, while not using extreme language that either shows, demonstrates that you are a liar or that you are not knowledgeable of the truth, of the facts. You can still do that. Nothing gets taken away from your pointing at the things that you believe to be wrong. But there is something wrong about using that kind of extreme language because it's distorted and it conveys thoughts that a person who is unaware of the Bahamas, maybe a child, a young person, or someone from abroad may buy this. And then we wonder why that language gets carried on by the next generation because they heard it from their mommy, their daddy, their brother, and so forth and so forth. See, I think that kind of extreme language reflects personal frustration. That's what I think, that in many instances, that people are personally frustrated with their lives. You know, maybe the money ain't straight, maybe the relationship ain't straight, maybe their work scenario is good or straight or maybe none. I think, and so the personal frustration and irritation is projected onto the country. That's possible. We all can do that when we get frustrated, when we get irritated, when we get angry. Because sometimes when I listen to our discussions, what is clear to me is we are not making distinctions between what is wrong with us because of our choices or the choices of other people around us, close to us, and which is a different something. See, the country could have an economic problem where, in fact, the country's economy is contracting and losing jobs and people are losing money when, personally, there are people in the country who are thriving, making lots of money, doing very well, enjoying themselves, living the life of Riley. Or it is possible the country could be prospering in general, the economy is growing, jobs are being created, but you and those around you may not be doing so. No job, no money, can't pay your bills. And so what can happen is people who are prospering can project their positivity on the outlook of the country, and that can be false as well. And or people who are financially and economically suffering can project that suffering on the country, and that too can be incorrect. And so if there's any hope, and I honestly couldn't tell you this day on August 8th, 2023. I couldn't tell you this day if there is hope for this. I couldn't tell you. I have no basis on which to say that I could have that hope. But if there's any hope that we could dialogue with each other toward solving some of the country's problems, and maybe even per se some of your and my individual problems, it can only happen if we can accurately describe, accurately discuss what the problem is. If we can't even get there, there is no hope that we're living in alternate universes, alternate realities, alternate truths. It's not possible. See, you can't approach me personally frustrated with your life. You can't approach me personally frustrated with your life, the individual decisions you or others have made that caused your life messed up, with a view to, I am responsible for all the carnage that exists on the country, on your island, or what have you, which may or may not even be true, but may only be a figment of your imagination born of your own frustration. And then expect you and I to have a dialogue towards some solution to that end. Really? How is that going to happen? It isn't. It isn't going to happen because anyone who's sensible enough these days, anyone who's sensible enough, is not going to tolerate it. It's not going to. First of all, they may tell you off. Secondly, they may just walk away. And then thirdly, they just may think, this is absolutely ridiculous, and I therefore will not even engage. If reasonableness cannot prevail in the course of looking at our challenges, there's no hope. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. Your host, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this break.
The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Are you dreaming of the perfect summer getaway? Apply for a debt consolidation or personal loan to win an airline ticket to Paris, Miami, or New York. Win up to $2,500 in cash and more. For details, call 356-7764 for Nassau, 602-6811 for Freeport, 823-4374 for Abaco.
Oi, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody what happening.
Again? For what? Wait, he fool with your girl?
Mother sick. And you know, Junior, you don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on your side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm here to take a stand, everybody.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. It's very, very warm Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-304. All right. So I'm talking about the kinds of ways in which some of us can come at issues in this country with such extremity. Like, all is glorious in the country. That's not true. All is terrible in the country. That's not true. But that's how some of us come at it. And I really believe that some of it is just sheer, maybe just some of it is just sheer passion for whatever the issue is. And so we get what do you call it now when you say we get them overly excited? Some of us are just malicious with it. But that's the truth, right? If our government isn't in power, everything is wrong. If our government in power, everything is right. Right? So I think some of that is that too. Some of it is, you know, really honestly don't know. Some people don't know how to effectively communicate their thoughts and ideas. But I also believe some of it is just personal frustration. Things ain't going right. Things ain't going well. Somebody didn't give you what you wanted. Somebody didn't do what they said they would do. You know, you're irritated about this. You're irritated about that. And so the whole country has to be absorbed in your personal hell. And so now everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. No, nothing is right in the country. All right? You can't have a dialogue toward solutions, toward helping with that kind of attitude. It can't happen. It's very difficult. First of all, it turns people off. You know, you approach people in negative ways, and that negative energy will oftentimes provoke a negative energy on their part, even if they don't want to go that direction. It's unhelpful. We have to be able to decide, you know what? There's no job suitable to what I can do out there. That's on me. That's me. That's my personal issue, right? Or I have too many bills because I borrowed too much money, or I spent my money on things I shouldn't have spent it on, and now the things I need to pay, I don't have the money to pay. That's on me. That's not on the government. That's not on the church. That's not on your mommy and your daddy. That's on you. Or on me. right? That's not the Prime Minister's fault. That's not the Cabinet's fault. That's not the Members of Parliament's fault. That's not the Senator's fault. That's on you. You made that choice because when you was chewing that mutton, you wasn't sharing it up with nobody and cussing nobody or praising nobody for it. And you enjoyed the things you enjoyed that are now causing you pain and frustration. You weren't really attributing that pleasure to anybody. Now that the pain is coming from the choices you've made, the choices I've made, you can't then now turn around and put it on somebody else. No, what? And I can tell you, it helps, it empowers to say, I screwed that up. I messed that up. I made a bad choice. I was stupid when I did that. I did so. That's not on anybody. That's on me. That's on me, bro. Me. And then let's blame the government and others, the church, for what they have done or not done. Let's do that. Let's identify it. You know what? Here's a community that seems unchurched. Very little evangelical activity takes place. Surely the church can and should get to that community. Well, that's reasonable. That's reasonable. I mean, then the church may come back and say, well, we've been in that community on this day, that day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And you say, okay. Well, I guess they don't want to hear that message then. The road has potholes. Not all the roads. Don't say all the roads in Nassau do not have potholes in them. Not all. You're still telling me that nonsense. I drive in Nassau. Not true. But we can point out, listen, man, there's too many, or here are the roads that have potholes. The government should do something about that because they're the government's roads. If they're the government's roads and they have potholes, then the government should be held responsible for that. Not for paying my mortgage or my rent. Unless I am in distress, I go to social services, I put in my application, and I can't get an answer. Yes, then I can blame them for that. They're not responsible for my child not having a job. No, I'm sorry. The government is not responsible for your children not having jobs, even the ones who graduated university. Yes, the government has a responsibility to do the things that help the economy grow. But economies don't grow simply because the government does things that help the economy grow. There are investors and business people and others who have to have activities that require certain jobs that create those jobs. It's not just the government. Governments need any growth. Of course, governments will always get blamed for those things because every time something positive happens in the economy, the government says it did so. Well, then why shouldn't people turn around and say when anything goes wrong, that you caused it? It may be a reasonable leap for people to do that, but it's simply actually just not so, though. So I'm not going to sit on the show and say it's so. The government isn't responsible for making sure you have a house. No. The government can do things that encourages home ownership and the like. The government, you can't get frustrated. I can't get frustrated if I don't have a house because my MPA helped me get a house. My the government didn't give me a house. No. If the government says it's going to do government housing and doesn't do it, you can blame the government for that. Where the government housing? You said you were going to do government housing. Where the housing? You can blame the government for that. You say, if the government says, I'm going to create 1,000 homes, and the government said it would do so. And if they didn't say in which time frame, that's on them. You didn't tell me he's going to do it in 5 years. You said he'd do so. You've been there for 2, you've been there for 3, you've been there for 4, and it ain't happened yet. But so we can blame the government for the things the government has not done, but not for our personal stuff. That's not reasonable. It's not sensible. It's not intelligent. This text says, great show as usual. Tell your mom happy birthday. I think she would have heard you. Says, play 85085 from Miami tonight. Hey, you go play it, bro. Say, great show. Yeah, if playing birthdays is get you a hit so often, shouldn't most many more people hit on their birthdays, because don't you know your own birthday when it's coming and you should play it? This is a great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I really don't think we need a new governor general before people start making up their face. Let me explain. We already have, I think, three stills that we are paying, so I don't want to pay a fourth salary. There's Dame Ivy Dumont, Dame Margaret Tindley, and there is Sir Arthur. Yeah. Says, but if I was to choose, I am not a PLP. I vote PLP once last election, so I don't have no horse in the race. I would choose Mother Pratt. She deserves it, or Perry Christie. Okay. Says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Social media is the best thing and the worst thing that even that ever happened to the Bahamas, because the foolishness and misinformation is the order of the day. Social media isn't the problem at all. If somebody uses social media for malicious things, that's on them, right? Social media is just social media. It's the people who use it. That's what the, and it's always been the problem in our world, us, we human beings. We can be good, we can be bad, we can be in between. Says, Mr. Lang, 65% of the roads in your province are bad. I really didn't want to send this text. Well, you don't know 65% of the roads are bad because you haven't measured on all the roads, and you don't even, what is bad? What does bad mean? You know, you know, 65, but you can tell me that if you want to say a lot of women, that's fine, no problems. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Lang.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Listen, firstly, so I wouldn't call my name, but I drove you 92 in Andres. But you know who I am.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're my good friend, you know.
yeah, man. It's but good to hear your voice.
But I'm calling in reference to those music on Friday, man.
Yeah.
So I may be a little off, but man, keep up the good work with those music. And, you know, I had a bad Friday, one Friday. And let me tell you, man, I had one of the most wonderfulest weekend after that.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the truth of the matter is I started that one time because I was having such a bad Thursday. When Friday came, I needed to do something.
So I tried to get in a couple of Fridays, but you know, that's a rough one. But
Yeah, man. Where are you these days?
I'm right here in town. That's all.
Okay, super, man. Well, maybe one of these days we can connect.
Sure.
Okay, all the best, man. Thanks a lot.
The old days, you know.
Yeah, man.
you know we're the same age, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember.
But wonderful music, man. Wonderful. Looking forward.
Thank you, my friend.
Looking forward.
Let's catch up. You got my number, 439-3043. So you can send me a text.
Give me that quick again.
Yeah, 439-3043.
439-3043. Okay.
All right. Producer, we got to make this a quick one, I guess, to pay our respects to our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this break.
Savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, and our special tropical sauce on a brioche bun. Served with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation fit to celebrate every year. Top off the Independence celebrations with our new Guava Sundae or frozen guava lemonade. Our Independence King combo and treats are available for a limited time at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I gotta buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathons. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our Snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Chicago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Why shop at Solomon's? I'm a little loyalty card. And they're so sophisticated. You know, they'll remind me of when you're shopping in the States, you got your little card. And I just use my points. And it works out. Sometimes when I lose my card, they say, what's your number? You have my number, call my name, you have my ID. Oh boy, you gotta get you take whatever discounts you can get these days. This text says, Mr. Lang, you make me smile how much you love your mother. Everyone knows that is your one good mother. More men need to be comfortable speaking about their mother. That way, man, let me tell you, that's my mommy. That's the reality of it. And I ain't tell nobody no lie. I mean, I spent far a lot of time talking to my mom. Yes, sir. Thank the Governor General have to be changed? No. No. But it's likely that at some point, if the government changes from one party to the next, the Governor General will change. Because generally speaking, the Governor General who's appointed is affiliated with the work and history and legacy of that party. So it's that's generally the case. So you know, you may last 2 years into a new administration's term, but you could almost expect that before that term is ended, a new governor general will be appointed. So this one will get appointed if the government changes. It may last a year, it could last less. and you'll get another change. But it doesn't have to happen. There's no rule, no law requiring that to happen. This text is great show. Mr. Lang, does the GG have regular meetings with the king, or they're independent? The governor general rarely speaks with the monarch, rarely meets with the monarch. The monarch, listen to me. If we believe King Charles, if King Charles has his mind on the Bahamas, 5 of 365 days in the year, he has his mind on the Bahamas a lot. and if the Bahamas comes in his mind with respect to anything, it probably with respect to taking a vacation. The monarchs have no boogie load or involvement at all in your life in this country. And the governor general does the daily things that he has to do, sign bills and sign off with appointments and the like. But the monarch and the governor general ain't having no conversations like that at all. Not in any significant way. Okay, so you know, when we come back from the news break, we have a call on the line. Do we have a call on the line? No? When we come back from the news break, I'm going to introduce you all to a word. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I'm going to introduce you to the world today. It's scary. I mean, it's scary in our... some things about our world today scares me about our country, about the world today. And that's largely related to the fact that that the kinds of ways that some people think, I think is dangerous. I honestly do. I think that the extreme ways that they think, I think that the us and them scenario, the other scenario, and the ways that people get put in corners now, I mean, it is crazy. And that, like, wow, you just, like, it's almost as if everything now can be disagreeable. Even things that we had commonly accepted to be so. So the world ain't round no more. It's flat for some people. But you see the pictures from outer space. It's scary in some ways, because now you really don't even know how to, well, you can have challenges, difficulty engaging conversations that don't ultimately end up in it being us against them. You against me, me against, y'all against us. And who's that serving? The scriptures tell us, a house divided against itself shall fall. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Even if you don't believe the scripture, does anyone believe that we are worse off disunited than we are united? And united don't mean we all believe the same thing. It just means we can at least come to some common grounds about things we want. It's not be all that debatable. No, man, it's scary out there. I watch. I don't do social media as much anymore. I had a Twitter account, but never really used it. Instagram account, I never had. I don't have a TikTok. Not TikTok at all. TikTok account, I don't. I listen to the news, whether it's MSNBC or Fox News or CNN. And it's just all these schisms, all these extreme, you know, points of view. It's scary out there. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what I believe is driving some of this extreme posturing when we come back from the news break. You're listening to See Live. I'm Shabab, and I'm your host. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, everybody.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful, warm Tuesday afternoon. If you 32 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was talking about the fact that, so Orville Turnquest, somebody's reminding me, yes, so Orville Turnquest. So it's actually four governor generals who are alive. Yeah, just four. You want to know what they might cost you in terms of pension? All four of them together, not more than $400,000 a year annually. Not more than $400,000 a year annually. So you want me to tell you what percentage of the government's budget that is so that you could know? I'm going to tell you what percentage that is. So they don't cost you more than $400,000 a year, all four of them. That's 0.0001. That's less than 1% of the Paramus's budget. Less than 1% of 1% of 1%. Somebody cost you. Just so you know, in the scheme of things. So I was talking about this, some of the extreme ways in which some people describe things, deal with things, address things. And to me, how scary that is. I mean, it really is. Honestly, it's not just me. If it were just me, I'd say, okay, maybe that's just me, right? But lots of people are talking about it. Like, that lots of people who talk to me are talking about how they listen to things that are said and how frightening it is that people live with such lack of knowledge or with such anger or what have you, and therefore see the world that way. I happen to believe that a critical mass of people in this country and elsewhere in the world are in survival mode. And in survival mode, you act really with a view to surviving, and that's understandable. I mean, you want to eat, you want to drink water, you want to have shelter, you want to be safe. And so those are things that any living creature wants and will fight for. Fight for. The difference is, though, that for some of us, it isn't that we are fighting for food or we are fighting for drink or we are fighting for shelter. We have them. But we are fighting for something else, or better shelter, or more shelter, or better situation for ourselves, like the people we see around us who look like they're thriving. Because human beings have this capacity to aspire toward heights that have nothing to do with their survival and treat that aspiration as a survival aspiration. And they can become desperate to be rich. Human beings can become desperate to be rich, desperate to have more money. How they got in America, desperate to have what they got in Canada, desperate to be like them in America, desperate to be like them in Singapore. And that lust, that over-desire can drive us to a place where we see what we want as needs and share the same degree of panic and desperation about what we need or want, about what we want, about as if these are our needs. And when we get in that mode, our frontal cortex gets hijacked by our hypothalamus. Our animal instincts become stronger than our human intelligent instincts. And that's why we can create these schisms, us-ness against them-ness. These people against us, they come to take our things. And you can hear the language. Oh, they're robbing us of this, they're robbing us, they're stealing this from us, they're stealing that from us. The next thing and the next thing and the next thing, they're robbing us. Mind you, you could disagree with your government for giving them the country robbing us. No adult negotiated that. When you're in survival mode, three things tend to dominate your life in your survival mode: fear, hurt, pain, and loss, or a sense of loss is going to dominate your life. What does loss do? A sense of loss do? It creates sadness, so you're sad. You feel unhappy, unjoyful, unpleasant. You're sad. Why? Because you lost something, or you feel like you lost somebody. They take pineapple patrimony away. They take this away. They take that away. You lost. You feel lost. Yeah. And when people are sad, what happens to them? How do they act? Irritable, uninspired, or hurt leads to what? Anger. And even if I get angry with you, it's because of some pain that I feel either you or something else has caused. All anger is rooted in pain, some hurt. You hurt my feelings, you hurt my intelligence, you hurt my money, my family, my body. And hurt people will hurt people. That's what happens. Right? So survival mode, you hurt, man. You trying to get stop the pain. The pain of what? No job. No money, not enough money. You know, no success, no achievement, no comfort. And then there's fear. What does fear do? Fear makes you want to retreat. You want to run away, get away. Or get rid of whatever's causing you to be fearful. And then this is survival mode. And then we wonder why we have all this irritability, all this anger. In some ways, I told you all I was going to introduce you all to a new word. I heard it today on a docket, on a YouTube video I was listening to between two doctors. It's not a medical word, but they were using it a little facetiously. The word is called hyperglybitchiness. Hyperglybitchiness. And what they were trying to do was to note that some of the irritation, frustration, anger we see out there is not merely tied to people's circumstances, but tied to people's lifestyles, to the fact that their dietary needs are not meeting their nutrition requirements for the body to function optimally. So they don't get the kind of energy they need to have the kind of pleasantness that they need, because their cells are deprived of nutrients to function properly. We are eating poorly, and because we're eating poorly, especially putting all this sugar in our system, that the sugar is creating all kind of ferment, inflammation and the like, and depriving us of the ability to feel optimally well. And so we are frustrated and irritated because we don't feel well. And we treat it as if it's our circumstances that don't feel as well as our bodies don't feel. We're nutrient deficient. We're nutrient deficient and we don't realize it. Deficient of vitamin A, deficient of vitamin C, deficient of thiamine, deficient of riboflavin, deficient of B6, B12, deficient of zinc and magnesium and all these kinds of things. We're deficient. We don't know it, but these things are working its way through our system and causing us to act in ways that we don't even know. We go eat up all the sugar in the morning with these cereal and sweet things, and we get this high, and then we have a crash. By midday, we wonder why spike dropped drastically, and that difference makes us feel like something's wrong. And now that on your wife or your husband, that on your colleagues at work or school, that on the government, the minister, the priest, the preacher, anyone who happens to get in your way that day. And have nothing to do with nothing other than your body, my body are not functioning optimally. I have learned to make a distinction between my physical feeling and the circumstances I'm in, because I do and have gotten them wrong. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Chicago Lightning. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, man?
mine right here, man. And let me say happy birthday to your mom on the 85th. It's a milestone, and I trust that she will continue to enjoy good health, strength, happiness, and love from her family and all those who surround her.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, man. I make you mad today.
She has the best time of her life, you know, and may God continue to give her good health as she continues forward.
Thank you, bro.
To your conversation here, you know, I often wonder if we could ever witness a utopia. What I mean by that is, you know, where, you know, a lot of our beliefs, you know, happen to come from not just the art of governance, but the political parties that represent the Bahamian people. Instead of the divisive tactics that they use, they somehow, you know, unite the people. Because when we are united, then the strength in that unity then becomes quite apparent. And I believe that a lot of the things that we have in terms of policies and stuff, you know, I would often think that as one party, political party, government, put things into action, and even though the opposition may be there that oppose a lot of the stuff or some of the things that they would have made policy, that the opposition would then still create their policies that then they would add and not take away from. I think we waste too much time, effort, resources on just opposing and not bringing anything tangible to the forefront that could really propel what we have already in play. I believe that the divisiveness between ourselves as a people is really doing us a disservice. I believe now, just because you support a particular political party, the onus is on the leaders of these parties to unite the people, because actually, in closing, you know, they actually represent us out here. And if the mindset is that of, oh, well, you know, you're an F&M, I'm going to oppose you just because you're an F&M. And likewise, vice versa, or any political party that may happen to bring governance in this country, if we do not find a way to unite and not just oppose for opposing sake, then the same conversation that we are having today, in essence, you talk about how we find strength in each other. I believe that we will still continue the same conversation for quite some time to come. We might move the country forward in prosperity and forward in progress if we were to find a way. I mean, not saying that we will agree on everything, but the essential things that is so important to national growth, if we could find that.
But hold on for a minute for me, please. Help me with something. Help me with something.
Yeah.
What is the party that is not the government call? No. I'm asking you, what is the party that is not the government call?
Opposition.
That's okay. Who called it the opposition?
I'm not hearing you clearly, Shivai. Say that again.
I'm asking you, who calls the opposition? Why are they called the opposition? Who called it that?
It's basic. The opposition is called that basically, not just only to oppose, but define.
No, bro. Don't mess with that. I asked you a question. Where did the term opposition come from?
My answer to that.
Let me help you. It's in the Constitution.
Yes, it is in the Constitution.
It's the party opposed to the government. Now, I hear you. It sounds theoretically wonderful to talk about the unity, and unity does matter. But I don't think that what you are talking about has anything to do with the fact that an opposition is there to look at a government something and to say, well, I'm either opposed to this, or we could do this better, or otherwise. I that's typically what I have seen in many instances. And yes, they are going to be opposed because that's their job.
Yeah. But I agree with that.
That's not keeping us from unity.
Well,
that's part of our democracy. How could that be keeping us from unity?
Well, in some cases, Chicago, like I said, I'm not saying that that happens in all cases. I'm basically saying forward on a positive plane, some of the things that perhaps is opposed or not taken seriously. We need basically to take a closer look at these things to see whether we can strengthen them in terms of moving the country forward in prosperity.
Okay. I got you. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate you calling. Thanks.
Okay, man.
Thank you, man. First of all, honestly, even that point that was made about the unity has nothing to do with the point that I'm making today. I mean, the ways in which people are describing stuff, a lot of that isn't even party stuff. I mean, like, this is individual people's views about who's in the back room plotting to take our resources, etc. That's not party stuff. Not the stuff I hear over the last several days. I've heard, this is not part. This is people's beliefs. All right, I'm trying to get to a more granular level, and you know, this is, it's tough, man. It's tough. Let me read some of these texts, please. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In my opinion, the Bahamas change governor generals too frequently due to politics. I have been told that Jamaica has 5 governor generals since they became an independent nation. Okay, let's look at that. So when did Jamaica become an independent nation? When did Jamaica become an independent nation? In 1962. So that means that Jamaica has been independent 10 more years than us. 10 more years than us. And they had 5 governor generals. How many governor generals have we had since we became independent? At least twice that, right? Maybe 10? Maybe 10. Sir Milo, Sir Gerald, Sir Orwell, Dame Ivy, that's 5. Dame Margaret, that's 6. Did I guess all already? We had about maybe almost 10. Almost 10. So that's twice more. So yeah, we've had more than them. But you think that's too much? Okay. So each time there's a new appointment, the outgoing GG has to be given all of the perks as the sitting GG. This is costing the country too much money. That's my honest opinion. Too much money? About $400,000 maybe a year? 0.0001 of the budget? Okay. So Mr. Lang, as far as the governor general's post, why do you think so many rejected Bishop Neil Ellis to the post? Did people reject a Bishop Neil Ellis? I didn't hear a discussion going on about that. I really honestly didn't. So Mr. Lang, it's the devil at work. Whether you believe it or not, only God can save us, bro. You know, I'm telling you, with my bachelor's and master's and all my experience and all the knowledge I have, I believe you. Only God can save us. I believe you 100%. We can make some stuff better. We can make some improvements, but in the end, I agree with you. So hyper, like, let's call it itchiness. Is this sense that really this irritability we see and observe is closely related to our being toxified by sugar, by deficiency in our nutrient intake, and by oversaturation of negativity in that social and media space, not social media, and mainstream media is, and has always been and continues to be, very negative in terms of what is reported. When you have exited me, mainstream media and social media tend to hype, well, not hype, but sometimes hype, but tend to be very focused on, very dominated by negativity. And in the news business, it says, if it bleeds, it leads. So we can't put it just on social media. When you wake up in the morning, you're not going to hear lead story. Oh, the students, five students got all A's. You're not going to hear that, whether it happened or not. Not going to happen, not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're going to hear who died, who messed up. A lot of times. That's what you're going to hear. And the news people might say, oh, but there ain't no good news to report. Yeah, that's good news to report. They just ain't newsworthy. You know, and I know, because people out there ain't really looking. They look at that headline and go, for real? Five children got all A's. You think that's news? It ain't exciting. Not sensational. Of our poor diets, limited exercising. I mean, it's serious. I'm not talking about you getting in the gym and pushing, pumping iron all day and all that kind of stuff. But lack of the kind of physical activity that optimizes health and all the negative intakes that we are taking in, even the shows we watch, you know, all of that stuff is leading to, like sugar gives you hyperglycemia, too much sugar, you get hyperglycemia. That's what the fellas say. That's not helpful. It's unhelpful. I had some interactions of late with some folk. And please, can I help you? So I am not considering anything remotely related to running. I am not considering anything remotely related to running in any election, not me, not Chicago, Shannon. But some of my interactions told me, boy, bro, if that ever entered your head, is you really want to do that again? Really? That's what you want to have to put up with? That's what you want to have to deal with? It's tough. It's tough, man, because it seems to me that reasonableness is a premium now. Reasoning and reasonableness are a premium. And you cannot govern well if your governors are unreasonable or if your people are unreasonable. You govern best when both are reasonable. You govern with challenge when either is unreasonable. And I'm telling you, reasonableness seems like it's a premium. Even at the micro-social level, reasonableness is at a premium. You know what I mean by that? It means that, boy, if you find it, it's very, very, very valuable because it's rare. That's what it means. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Do a back-to-school special. Restrictions apply. Tell
them. Being an investor has its benefits. Like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I gotta buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathons. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points or you can donate cash directly at the register and be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so. I think we have a call on the line. Do we still have the caller? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Everything cool. This is your boy, Rackley, who used to go to BFM back in the day.
Okay. From okay, what's up?
Here, from the group he plays here back in the day, the Teen Spirit. Me and song people.
Okay, okay.
Good to hear from you, Mr. Lang.
What's going on?
I was glad to hear that you made your statement or made your case that you ain't running in no more election. I was glad to hear that. But further, more than that, Mr. Lang, my major statement is, or my question is, like I say, I don't really like to make statements because I see myself as a sort of uneducated person, unlike yourself. You are very educated, been to college, got plenty names, yeah, and yeah. Like you referred to the gentleman who said, only God could save us, right?
Mm. Yeah,
My question is this. We say, as a nation, we are a Christian nation. The word Christian comes from the word Christ. So it means to actually follow in the footsteps of Christ or the word of God. Christ himself said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the word of God. On a show earlier, I was talking about us being still under what we call colonialism or under the colonial masters. And it seems that we as black countries all over the world, it seems like we always go to these people begging, look like we begging for something. When the colonialists, they put that idea in our head as black people that we need them for something, which in its actual reverse, it's the actual reverse. They come into our countries, take our natural resources, and history has shown, historicity has shown that the way that they got what they have is through the rape, robbery, and murder of the indigenous. And other places, well, beginning with Haiti, decided to physically overthrow the colonialists. And they are still paying for that through the colonialists by making them actually pay for freedom, for independence. The same thing with Nigeria, the same thing with all these places. And our government, being one of the countries that are still under the Commonwealth, who seems to be putting in all these governor generals and that and all this stuff, it seems like, and my question is to you, Mr. Pinta, I mean, not Mr. Pinta, I mean, Mr. Lang, do you love the Queen? Do you love the Europeans? Do you see them in a favorable light? Do you
me and Jesus in the same boat? We love everyone.
But Mr. Lang, I'm talking about Jesus, you know.
You asked me a question and I answered it. I said me, Jamaican, Trinidadian, you're American.
I understand where you're coming from. I understand exactly where you're coming from that Christianity, that Eurocentric idea or ideology. But according to the Bible.
No, brother. Let me fix something for you. See, I listen to you and I never put words in your mouth. You can't tell me where I come from, which direction I come from. It's not a Euro-Christian something. I am told by the Jesus I serve that I am to love everyone, including my enemies.
Okay. One verse of scripture says that God hates Esau forever. Okay? In Malachi, the book of Malachi, and the same sentiment is repeated by Paul in Romans chapter.
Let me tell you what's not gonna happen, right? I can't have you monopolize the show with this because it's a different topic altogether. And see, when God hates, I'm not God. I have to do what he asked me to do. If he wants to hate Esau forever, that's God. He told me to love my enemies. I am not God, and I'm going to pretend to be God. Some of you all, let me tell you all something, right? I appreciate the brother. Appreciate him trying. He made good sense, you know. No, let's be clear. He was right about colonialism. He was accurate about what the colonialists did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Honestly, I don't know where he was headed altogether with that, but he was taking far too long, and we have time to take that up with this. But I think we need to remember. See, some of us, when you come, this isn't even about studying in university, because I never studied the Bible in university. I study my Bible for myself. And if you go quote scriptures to me, you got to come, you got to listen, you got, please be ready. That's all I can tell you. Because I spent a lot more time studying the Bible than I spent in university. All right? And so we can't be cherry picking. At life. Can't tell me God hates Esau. I mean, say God told a prophet to marry a harlot. God could do what he wants. I have to do what he says. I don't always do what he says, but I'm going to tell you what he told me to do. And that's what you're supposed to do, but that's what the aim is, right? We're talking today about, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we listen to you.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Vargo Lang.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, but thanks for asking. Look here. One observation and a quick question. But before, in full disclosure, I don't have any degrees on the wall, no letters after my name. And sometimes I'm thankful because it means I know there's no box to think outside of. But let me show you an observation. Africa has gold, diamonds, uranium, and tons of other items of value, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful. So some people left Africa and went to Europe and went to America because civilization started in Africa, I'm told. And they may be a U.S. dollar. And they lent plenty money, and you know what they do. And they were able to get those resources, some say, for a better deal than they would have had to pay otherwise. But let me leave you with this. Shivargo, the last caller, was trying to box you in, talking about colonialism, and you defended yourself very well. I'm proud. But I got one question. Have you, Shivargo, ever sworn to the Queen of England, her heirs and successors?
Yes, I have. When I took office, it was a requirement.
Oh, wait, hold on. It's a requirement.
Yeah.
It's not a formality, because I was told it's a formality by the Honorable Richard
Lightburn. It's a requirement. You don't have to swear. You can affirm, but taking that form of oath, that's what is required
You are correct, and an honorable saved man, as the other guy would say. But you know what's scary? if everyone to get in that house has a requirement to swear to the queen, now king, is there?
No, it didn't sound to me. It didn't sound to me at all. You know why? Because you, no. Let me tell you something. Graham, call my show. I do not say, don't be cute with me on the show. I try to educate and inform, not trying to be cute.
That's not true. When you swear to a foreigner.
No. Listen to me. I'm trying to score a point. First of all, you swear an allegiance, and I'm a Jewel. Whether that's here or there, whether you do that, don't do that, that's fine. We decided to keep it. We decided to do so. But who's the job for, though? Who's the work for? The work is for the people of the Bahamas.
When we make a policy
that creates a job program for young people, it's not for the Queen's children. It's for the children of the Bahamas. When we create a school in the Bahamas to educate them about this stuff.
May I rebut?
The work is for the people of the Bahamas. When a bridge, when a dock is built on a family island, it's not built for the Queen.
Can I rebut
No. You're not going to get away with that.
Let me know when anyone believes.
Hubert Alexander Ingraham, Sir Lyndon Pinley, Barry Christie.
I'm not going to talk.
Sitting around, I've been around this place working for the Queen. That's nonsense.
Why not swear to the citizens that put you in that position instead of a king or queen?
It makes no difference who's the work for. Who gets the benefit of the work?
No, it's not the queen. It's not the benefit. When we woke up in the morning, we went to work for the Bahamian people, not the queen. We're not going to dialogue then. It's one-sided. I asked a question. Why? No, it ain't one-sided.
Listen, I keep telling you all before, my brother, I am not interested in trying to have points scored and made cuteness on this show. Lord. I'm trying to educate people.
It's a good thing for the Marco City.
If you want the Queen, when you reach the limits of your intelligence, you then draw on what's left. And that's what he drew on, what was left. If you want the queen or the king or the royals removed as head of your state, there is a way to do that. You have to convince your governments to go down that road. The prime minister of our country has already said that's a consideration for them. But in the meantime, let's not be distracted by nonsense. When parliamentarians, when cabinet ministers and others, go to work in this country. When they go to the courts of this country, they don't go to work for no queen. The benefits or the challenges of their work fall on the Bahamian people, not on the queen. When they mess up, the queen don't lose one lick of sleep. The king don't lose one lick of sleep. You can't sell me on that. Okay, that's why I don't have any, for me, it don't make no difference one way or the other, because I knew, as all of us did, for whom we went to work. And that's what matters the most. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Like cancer, we band together. and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey for every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're good for
you. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So good. You could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, warm Tuesday afternoon. Man, why are you blowing up my thing all day? Say, it means nothing to some people, but many generations ago, almost 400 years, my family ran from England's grip on money and religion. Now you know, done hit me with the Queen's tax, but man, y'all angry with the wrong people, man. Y'all angry with the wrong people. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is Philip Davis. And the government of the Bahamas, the royals, then you go and you have to do the necessary to get them to move to that end. And then when you get the opportunity at the referendum, you go ahead and you make that positive vote to get rid of them. Shivago will cry no tears to do so. But if I get elected to represent people, and see some of y'all don't want to take responsibility, some of you, because you knew when you elected me that I was going to have to go and serve in Her Majesty's government. You knew that. You knew that. And you still vote for me. What did you vote for me to do? Turn around and say, but I can't sit in the seat because this is some colonial people government and I'm not gonna serve in that. But why you vote for me for? Why did you go to the polls? Election after election, we have gone to the polls, 80%+ of us. I don't know the last one. To vote. And some of you, you're talking about getting rid of the Queen. You is a vestige of that colonialism. You didn't come from Africa. That's where you came from, speaking of English. That's not what we spoke. So if we can get rid of it, let's get rid of all this. You think you dress like an African? Like your ancestors? Some of you, you think you dress like your ancestors? No, you dress like Europeans. The vehicles you drive, are they by your ancestors chosen? No, Europeans. The Nikes you wear, you think they're your ancestors? No, they're European. You're talking nonsense. You're trying to come down on these politicians because they take an oath to do the job that they must do for the people of the Bahamas while you're living up your European lifestyle. Living it up. Eating your fish and chips. Drinking your tea. Speaking your English. And then when you feel like you need to be formal, you speak that English in such a way as your subject and your verbs must agree. When you're not Arabic, that's not Swahili. Huh? You know, here comes to the table. You can't come with clean hands, man. I remember one time a fella, when we were talking about, WTO, when fella stopped me, he stopped me and said, "Mr. Lane, why are you trying to get us to join this foreign thing? A thing like that, the Bahamas." Check this out, though. As he was telling me that, he was getting in his car. I could tell you this happened in front of the Grand Bahama Power Company. This was years ago. He was getting in his car. Guess what was blasting in his car? Reggae music. That's my Bahamian. Guess what he was dressed up in? Not on Georgia. He was dressed up in his own American clothes. And I said to them, I said, "My brother, are you opposed to foreigners? Because look at you, everything you represent right now to me looks foreign." What are we talking about? The substance of the governance of this country is a substance that is attended to the service of the people of this country. All the schools, all the hospitals, all the police officers, all the immigration officers, all the civil service, all the programs in them, the passports that allow us to go where? Why do you need a passport to go to foreign? Why are you going to foreign? Why are you going to foreign? Why? Most Bahamians have never stepped foot on Africa. They've been to Fort Lauderdale, though. Plenty been there. The ones who travel. They've been to Fort Lauderdale, though. Mm-hmm. Right? The services of this country are services not to the king or to the queen, but to the people, the way all you wish. You may not be happy with all those services. Then you may not be delighted with the quality of those services, but they are your services. They are for you. All those teachers hired, you think that those teachers are teaching for the king? Go ask them. You think those doctors in the hospital are there for the king? And quite a number of them are not Bahamians, by the way. Filipinos. And them. I heard the talk, we are under the Commonwealth, the British Commonwealth. Are you serious? Under the British Commonwealth. The British Commonwealth is like an association just like the UN is, just like the OAS is and so forth. You ain't under nothing. You are voluntarily joined it, and if you want to unjoin it, you could do that tomorrow. It's just crazy. See, I don't know about you all, but I love speaking English. God bless England. Say, this is the problem when you swear to the king, the power land is vested in them. I'm still talking nonsense. So when you put the Constitution and you're swearing together and dangerous, I put it together, the two, that's dangerous? And come on. The Queen could no more come and claim a piece of land in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas than somebody from South Africa could. No more could. Let us stop talking nonsense in the Bahamas. If the Queen, it owns what you have in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, how come you could sell it to whom you want to sell it and don't even refer to the Queen? How come you could do that? Some of you need to think, man. Think. For goodness sake, let's think. Let's stop spreading nonsense. the Queen owns nothing in this country. Things held in the name of the Crown, man, please. Please. Please, if the king and the queen can't keep themselves, your head of state. How are they? If the Parliament of the Bahamas could today pass a bill removing the royals as head of state, take it to you in referendum and you decide it today, how are they in charge of you? I didn't know it was the other way around. I always thought the people who are in charge are the people who get to decide their own fate. That's what I always thought. Y'all are looking at the wrong thing. You need to go talk to your government. Talk to your government, say, "Government, I'm tired of rowing the queen and the king and them. you I need around. Could you please get rid of these people for me? The problem is you can't convince them to do that, so you're frustrated. And so now you want to blame the swearing in. I understand. One day, you'll get what you want. Say, good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. Please wish your mother a happy birthday, and may God bless her with many more, with health, strength, vitality. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I trust you have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Be spares life. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langeros. Take care.
Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. Whatever.